Well, hey guys, we are starting a brand new series today that I'm calling FAQ, Questions About God and Faith. And the reason that we're doing this is because I'm encountering more and more people with genuine questions about God and the faith that they're considering or whatever they're currently engaged in. And what I want to do as we go through this series is I want to look at what the Bible has to say about these types of questions that we all seem to have about God and faith and those issues. And my hope is that I can do an effective job of answering some of these core questions people ask about God. These answers will be straightforward, I hope, based on facts, also based on scripture, and packaged in a way to kind of give you answers and equip you to have conversations with people that are around you, friends, coworkers, neighbors, and all those things are there. And for those of you who have questions about God, or maybe you're investigating faith for yourself, I'm excited that you're going to dig in, and I hope you stay with us to explore this. Now, as I talk to people about faith, one of the most asked questions that I get is, what is God really like, right? That's kind of an important question because you can't relate to God if you don't understand what he's really like. And the way you relate to other people is influenced by the way you relate to God. It's very important that you learn an accurate understanding of what God is really like. One of the quotes that I have here is from A.W. Tozer, and he puts it this way. What comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing to us. Now, I don't know if he's right, and I don't know if he's wrong, but I do know that this is at least worth discussing. So if I were to ask you to think about God, what would you think about? How would you imagine God? I know some people kind of imagine God as like from Star Wars, right? The Force. May the Force be with you. This impersonal force that's out there. Like on television, when they portray God, he's always in some giant thunder or some big bassy voice, just a voice that's out there. Some people imagine him as an old crotchety grandfather, right? And he's waving his cane at you, right? He's toothless, feeble, and weak. Absolutely impotent, and he tells you what you have to do, right? And then he just doesn't pay you too much attention. Just go away from me. You're bothering me, right? And some people imagine God is kind of this irate judge sitting up there in heaven, condemning people to hell and loving every minute of it. And you may have some picture of God that's different than all of those, right? We all have a picture. But Tozer is saying what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Well, before Tozer wrote this, though, C.S. Lewis, the author of The Chronicles of Narnia and all those things, he also wrote a really great classic book called Mere Christianity. Well, C.S. Lewis wrote this quote about God, and I would like to read it. He says, I read in a periodical the other day that the fundamental thing is how we think of God, right? So he's almost saying what Tozer's saying, the fundamental thing. But then he goes on, by God himself, it's not how God thinks of us is not only more important, but infinitely more important, right? How God thinks of us. So which one is right? No, I think they're both right. I think it's really important to have a correct picture of God, but I also think the most important thing, which will lead us to a correct picture of God, is to understand what God thinks of us. How does he relate to us? And I think Jesus thought this was pretty important as well for us to know. And in fact, he came to earth to show us what God is like. So he gives us this famous prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer, we know it. And in it, he defines God for us with just two words. And in so doing, he also lets us in on how God thinks of us. So look at this. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, he says, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Right? He defines God in two simple words. Our Father. Simple. Right? God is saying through Jesus that he wants you and me to think of him as a father. And this is such a radical idea, even in Jesus' time. In Matthew 6, where Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer, Jesus uses the word father 10 times to refer to God. That's more times in that one chapter than in the entire Old Testament put together. It's a new concept that God is like a father. And this is important to know because, again, this is telling us how God thinks of us. If he is our father, then he thinks of us as his children. And as his children, we can have a meaningful relationship with him. In other words, God is a person, not simply a power. right? He's a real person, a real being. And I think that because I can relate, I like that because I can relate to a person. I can love a person. I can understand a person. I can get to know a person. I can't really understand a power. God is a person. He says, if you want to, you call me Father. Now, in our current culture, I know this can be a problem because there's a lot of people, maybe many people, that Father is not a positive term. It stirs up memories of maybe an unhappy childhood. It arouses fear, anger, guilt, frustration. Some fathers made their home an absolute hell on earth. I get it. They're selfish, demanding, neglect their children, impulsive, inconsistent. Maybe not always the best picture. This is why Jesus clarifies it. He says, our Father in heaven. He's not talking about a location here. He's not giving you God's address. What God is saying is God is everywhere, heaven, earth. If you're a believer, he's in your heart. He cannot be confined to anything. He's everywhere. Our Father in heaven. Jesus is saying in heaven, things are perfect. On earth, things are not perfect. So unlike your earthly father, who, as great as he may be, is imperfect, your heavenly Father is a perfect Father. And with that statement by Jesus kind of as a backdrop, I want us to spend our time today looking at what God is really like. And the reason I want to start here is because of this. It's tough to get life right when you get God wrong, right? It's tough to get life right if you've got a bad picture of God. And in fact, when we get God wrong, and we see people do this all the time, people get hurt. I mean, just look around. Look at the news. There's always a story out there of someone doing something in the name of God that is absolutely despicable. And the reason that they can claim to do these things in the name of God is because they have some picture of God that is crazy, is completely inaccurate, is not who God is. And this is why Jesus came and told us to call God our Father. And when you think about God as your Father, it prepares the way for you to think about yourself the way God thinks about you. So in an effort to get God right, let me give you four adjectives that describe the kind of Father that God is. And the first one is this: God is a caring Father. Okay, so our Father, our caring Father, this is probably his most outstanding quality. Every child needs to know that he or she is loved, especially by their dad. So in Psalm chapter 103, verse 13, we learn this about God. The psalmist says, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. God knows your makeup. He knows you're frail. He knows you're going to make mistakes. He understands that you're human, that you're imperfect, yet he still loves you because God is a caring Father. He cares. Does God care about your house payment, your health, whether you're a success or failure in life, your children getting an education, or whether or not you get married or not, about the argument that you had your boyfriend, or about how you feel this morning? Absolutely he does. God says, yeah, I care. I'm a caring Father. It matters. God is interested in every single little detail of your life. That statement is so incredible. I'm not sure it even sinks in that God is a caring God. He's concerned about every detail of your life. The psalmist says in chapter 35, verse 27, let the Lord be magnified, who delights and takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Man, he wants you to prosper. He's a caring Father. As a pastor, I hear this statement kind of a lot. Some version of this said, look, I'm a Christian. I just feel stuck. I just don't seem to love God enough. You ever felt that way? I'm sure we all have at some point. But here's what I've learned. The problem is not that we don't love God enough. The problem is that we don't understand how much he loves us. Love is always a response to love. So when you say, I don't love God, it's because you don't understand just how much he really loves you. He cares about every detail of your life. He's a compassionate, caring Father. Second adjective, God is a consistent Father. He can be counted on. He's dependable, reliable. He's worthy of your trust. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote it this way in James chapter 1. He says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father who does not change like shifting shadows. Some fathers are unpredictable, right? They're unreliable, fickle. They're always changing. Some fathers, it depends on the mood that they're in. They can be inconsistent, and they produce insecure children. But the Scripture says that God is not only a caring Father, He is consistent. He never changes. God never has a bad day. God doesn't wake up in the morning and He's grumpy. He's not moody. He doesn't get up on the wrong side of the bed like we do sometimes. He's consistent, faithful. He doesn't have mood swings, right? There's not one minute God is nice and the next minute He's real mean to you. He is consistent in His love for you. Even when I'm unfaithful, God is faithful. Even when I'm inconsistent, God is consistent. Even when I'm unreliable, God is reliable. He is a consistent Father who is dependable. No matter what else is changing in the world, there is one thing I can count on. God always acts the same way towards me. He's loving, He's consistent regardless of my mood, and He loves me just as much on my bad days as He does on my good days. And the number one reason that children rebel, it's also the number one reason for hurt feelings and damage that's done in relationships between parent and child. But the number one reason between resentment of a parent and a child is broken promises. All the, hey, one of these days, I promise I will. And one of those days never comes. And it breaks down. But God will never be that way. He is consistent. Proverbs 18, verse 30 says, what a God He is. How perfect in every way. All His promises, what? Prove true. If God says it, you can count on it. Third adjective. God is a close Father. He can be counted on. And He's nearby when you need Him. He's available. He's accessible and not far away. He is close. In other words, He is there when you need Him. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is giving this sermon to the people in Athens. And he says, hey, God doesn't live in a temple. He doesn't live in a little house, right? He's not confined by these things. He's chosen to live all around the world. God is everywhere. And then he says this in verse 27 of chapter 17. God did this so that men would reach out for Him and find Him, since, what does it say? He is not far from each one of us. God's close. He's available. He's accessible. I know many of us have grown up with maybe absentee fathers, and they're just never there. They're home, or they're too busy. They're always gone. They're never there for important dates. And when they are home, they really aren't there. Right, they're detached, or they were on their computer, or currently, like, they're on their phone or watching television, studying, working on a business plan. Like, they may have physically been there, but they were not mentally or emotionally at home. Absentee fathers are distant from their kids, right? They're detached and they're aloof. And if that's you, here are three encouraging facts to remember about the closeness of God. One, God is never too busy for me. Right, your earthly father may have been too busy. God is never too busy for you. The psalmist says in chapter 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on Him. He's never too busy to talk to me. When I want to pray to God, He never says, whoa, wait a second, I'm busy. He's always near. He never says, hey, some other time, right? The second thing is God loves to meet my needs. He absolutely loves it. He's not annoyed by my request. Look how Jesus talks about this. Again, Jesus is teaching us what God is like. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, He says, if you know how to give good gifts, so He's talking to the guys there, if you know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Basically saying, hey, you, being an imperfect father, and you know how to give good gifts, if you want to give them the best things, right, you want your kids to have the best experience in life, don't you think that God, being a perfect father, knows how to give and give even better, right? Third thing you need to know, God is sympathetic to my hurts. The psalmist says in Psalm chapter 34, verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. When you hurt, God hurts. When you grieve, God grieves. When you're brokenhearted and crushed and you can't even think, how am I even going to get out of bed in the morning? God feels with you. And maybe as you're watching this, your heart has been broken this week. You had a bad experience at work, or maybe you're in a major fight with your spouse, or your kids are kind of going off in a different direction. I want you to know this. You are never closer to God than when you're in pain, right? He's there, and he cares. He wants to meet your needs. That is such good news. Well, the fourth adjective about God, God is a capable father. This is really important. He can handle any situation you give him. He's not overcome by it, right? No problem is too tough for him. Nothing is beyond God's ability, but the first thing you've got to do is you got to bring it to him. Jesus spoke a couple of languages, Hebrew, and he spoke Aramaic. That was the language that was spoken in Palestine in the New Testament times. And the Aramaic word for father that Jesus uses here is the word Abba. Abba is kind of this enduring term. It literally means daddy. We translate Abba to mean papa or dada or mama, right? It's one of these first words that a baby learns, Abba. And Jesus says, when you talk to God, that's the kind of intimate relationship that you can have with him. Daddy, Abba, I am helpless, but you're not. That's the kind of intimacy God wants you to have. Our Abba who art in heaven, our daddy who is caring and consistent and close and capable, that's what I need. When my kids were younger, every day when I got home from work, my kids would greet me when I came in the door. And you know what they would say when I came through the door? Oh, almighty procreator, ruler of the home, thou dost divinely and sovereignly proportion our allowance. No, that's not what they said, right? Every day I got the same response. One kid would come running around the corner and he would say, it's daddy. And you know what that did for me? Man, you couldn't pay me $1 million to give that up. God says, that's the way I want you to relate to me. Daddy. But not just any dad. A dad that is all powerful. Look what Jesus says about our heavenly dad in Luke chapter 1. In verse 37, he says, nothing is impossible with God. So what's the decision that you're facing this week? What's the mountain that needs to be moved? Is it cancer or is it some sort of bad medical diagnosis? Maybe somebody moved out of your life and you need him or her to move back in. Maybe it's bankruptcy or your kids are having problems or maybe there's a habit you just can't seem to break. Nothing is impossible with God. Jeremiah puts it this way in chapter 32, verse 27. I am the Lord God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? It's almost like God is laying down the gauntlet and saying, hey, I dare you. Think up a problem that I can't solve. Is there anything too hard for me? It amazes me, you know, what my kids expected me to be able to fix, right? Broken toys, decapitated dolls, kind of incredible things. And when they were younger, they believed I knew all things and could fix anything and I could afford everything. Most of us growing up have said something like, hey, my daddy can do anything, right? My daddy can beat your daddy, right? I really thought that. I thought that my dad, he's really truly one of the hardest working men that I ever knew. And as I grew up, I began to have my eyes opened. I realized that when it came to my allowance, my dad had limited resources. When it came to advice, sometimes he was just guessing too. My guess might have been as good as his. My dad was great. But he wasn't perfect. He wasn't all-powerful. And here's what is true of our Heavenly Father. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 in the Amplified Version says this. God is able to do superabundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams. Guys, I got to tell you, I've got a pretty vivid imagination. I can think up some pretty big dreams. I can set some high goals. It's really easy for me to do that. And God says, hey, son, think up the greatest thing that you could do with your life, and I can beat it. I can top it. And that's the kind of father that God is for us. So, as we begin to wrap up, what aspect of God as your father do you need today? Maybe it's just that life is overwhelming for you, and there's so much that's going on. You're not sure how things are going to work out on your job. Maybe the bills just keep piling up. Maybe there's friction in some relationship, you know, the ones that matter to you most. Or maybe you did just get a medical report that just took your breath away. And you just need the caring Heavenly Father. You just need to know how much God loves you and cares about every single detail of your life. Or maybe you just need to experience God as a consistent Father. Because with all of the uncertainty that's happening in our world, you just need to rest in God as someone who is unchanging. Or maybe you need to experience God as kind of that close Father. Some things have happened in your life and they've just left you brokenhearted. And maybe you're in the middle of an epic fight with somebody that you love. Or you've lost somebody close to you and you just can't seem to get past it. You need to know that when you hurt, God hurts. When you grieve, God grieves. When you're brokenhearted, God is close by. He never leaves your side. Or maybe, and this is a big one, you have some insurmountable problems that are happening in your life right now. You've encountered something that you just have no control over. And for most of your life, you've been able to kind of get around or work yourself out of anything that has come your way. But what you are facing right now is different. It does. It looks like a mountain to you. And you don't know if you have what it takes to be able to climb over that mountain. And so you need to experience God as your capable Father today. You need to bring things to Him. And you need to know that nothing is impossible for your Heavenly Father. Miracles are still possible. And God is fully capable. Maybe today you need to spend some time with your Abba Father and reflect on what He's capable of and let hope begin to rise within you once again. I don't know which aspect of God you need to experience today, but I do know that He is there for you right now in this moment. So let's spend some time talking with Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, right now as we open up to You, we are probably all in different places, and therefore we need to experience You in some different ways. But right now I ask that You would come and You would meet with us right here. Come be the Father that we need right now. And Father, some of us need to know this week how much You really care about us. Help us to get a sense of Your love. Others need to know that You're consistent. We just need to know that You love us just as much on the good days as You do on the bad days. And Father, other of us need to know that You're close. So this week, let us sense that You are with us and in us. And then, honestly, Father, there are those of us who need a miracle. We are facing something larger than life. We need our Abba Father who is capable of anything. God, speak hope and confidence in us that there is no situation or experience in life that You can't handle, that no matter what I face, I will make it because You are with me and Your power is great. We pray all of these things in Your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Well, hey, friends, thanks for joining us yet again today. Before you head out into whatever, I hope, cool thing you got going on today, could I ask you for a favor? If you think today's message, we talk about God and what He's like, if you think that might be valuable to someone you know, would you mind sharing this video? Not only could it be helpful for them, but by sharing this content as well as liking and subscribing to whatever channel you're watching this on, you help us accomplish our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus. And along those lines in helping us, could I also ask you to head over to our website and support this church by going to nextlevelchurch.org/give and choosing one of those options that's there. Every dollar that you give, make sure that your church is prepared more than ever to fund our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. And by way of benediction, I want to read an amazing verse about God from Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. This is what John the Revelator writes. He says, "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them, and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them.'" May you this week experience your Heavenly Father living with you. May His presence, hope, and peace be upon you, and may it spread to everyone around you. Hey, I hope you have a great week this week. If you need us to pray for you about anything, we're here for you. We would love to pray for you. Just know that we love you and we're rooting for you.